in behind Chris Wood, and that is 32-year-old Chris Wood leading the line for Forest, 33-year-old Danny Welbeck leading the line for Brighton.
Delighted to say Stephen Warnock is alongside Ali for commentary today. Afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Do you know what? I think this is one of the big ticket games of the weekend, actually. You look at all of that attacking talent, you look at how both teams have done so far this season. I think this is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, really good. I was allocated the game probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, looked at it and thought, not so sure. And then as the season...
That's because he saw I was doing it.
Yeah, true.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but when you get down the line, because you're thinking, where will both teams be at? And because of the starts that they've both made, then suddenly now it's more appealing to everyone. And Nottingham Forest calls an upset at Anfield, and suddenly everyone's looking at Nottingham Forest coming to Brighton and saying, ooh, they could hurt Brighton. Whereas a lot of people had Nottingham Forest to perhaps be in the relegation battle come the end of the season. Listen, that still could happen, but they've got so much quality on show in the top half of the pitch that I don't see that happening at all, because they can hurt teams.
There's so much exciting wit, Stephen, about this game.
Yeah, I think I am glad I'm retired when I look at players like this, and you think of the pace of Alanga, the directness of him, Mitoma, the way he carries the ball, but also the ability to shift it either foot. Hudson-Odoi, we know, likes to come inside on that right foot. Adingra just fascinates me, because I often look at him and think, like, what's his best position at the moment? What's his biggest quality? And it is almost that we don't know what he's going to do. And it's the unknown with him. He's obviously still young and he's still learning his trade. But the quality on show in the wide area is just breathtaking. And like I say, fullbacks will be thinking, how do I play this game? Do I sit in and conserve my energy? Or do I go the other way and try and take them as far back down the pitch as I possibly can? So that then they are... Wingers don't like running 70-yard bursts. Fullbacks don't mind it, because that's the way they're trained to be, and that's the way that they try and train themselves. So to try and take a winger back and then say to him, go and carry the ball 70 yards up the pitch, that becomes difficult for them then. So it's a lovely little battle tactically between the wingers and fullbacks.
Hi, both. I was just wondering about the forward line, obviously, in particular kind of Wood and Welbeck. In particular, Welbeck, he just seems like a freshness, like he's been given a new lease of life. Do you think that's the new manager? What do you think that's from?
We've just been chatting about this, about Danny Welbeck, and we were, myself and Ali, and saying there's no coincidence that the quality that Danny Welbeck's got at Brighton, that three managers have come in and he's still the guy that they look towards. I was telling Ali a story then that years ago, Champions League final, I was in the England squad after the Champions League final, and Rio Ferdinand was talking about Danny Welbeck the night before the game against Chelsea, and how he rang rings round everyone and he was this magnificent talent, but he's just been hampered by injuries. And you think of where Danny's career perhaps could have gone to had he not have had them injuries. However, the career he's had at Brighton, the intelligent footballer that he is, he's still proving that to any manager that comes into this football club, is that he's a huge asset to have. He's super, super intelligent.
He's looking super sharp at the start of this season. Fitness has obviously been an issue down the years, but I mean, he's still out there doing it. He's 33 years old, 17th season in the Premier League. As Stephen says, you know, the three recent managers, so Graham Potter, Roberto De Zerbi and Fabian Hertzler, clearly love what he brings. And Evan Ferguson as well, the sort of young up-and-coming superstar, has had a little bit of a dip, shall we say, over the last 12 months or so. Again, down to injury problems and losing a little bit of form. So if you're Fabian Hertzler, and, you know, he's watching these guys in training week in and week out, Danny Welbeck at the moment is the man, and is doing a great job for Brighton.
I think the other thing as well, just to touch on one more thing, is that, I mean, Ellen, you'll know this more than anyone, is that strikers are judged on goals, but I don't think Danny Welbeck is. I think he's judged on everything else and every other part of his game. We almost accept that he's not going to be the one in two goals, one in two games for a goal. It's going to be maybe one in four, one in five. But it's everyone around him appreciates what he does and what he brings.
And you don't get to see that. I don't think that happens at a lot of clubs. I think a lot of strikers it's about goals. So I think it's incredible as an organisation and Brighton to really appreciate what he does give that team, and especially kind of Hertzler. He wants him in that team because of the experience he has, the positions he has, the press that he does, but then also the goals that he's doing.
Ellen, you can tell that you now are a co-presenter of a BBC Sounds podcast, Women's Football Weekly, by the way, on BBC Sounds, because you just set me up absolutely perfectly. Thank you very much, because we're going to hear now from Fabian Ertzler talking about Danny Welbeck. 33 now, but the Brighton boss says age is just a number.
I don't see that he's getting old. So, role model on the pitch, role model beside the pitch. A gentleman with a lot of experience who is taking care of his teammates, who's taking care of the culture, of the environment, of the whole club. So I'm very happy to have him on the pitch and also beside the pitch, because he's helpful in every phases so far. And on top of that, I think he's in a great shape. Of course, I have a picture from a player when I'm watching him in TV or when I watched him during the summer, and then I came here, and of course some players surprises me, but the most what surprises me is like how they take care of themselves and how they take care of their teammates. So that's something what I experience here is like this culture and this atmosphere, and for me the most surprising is that how much Danny Welbeck take care of his teammates and how he protects them, how he helps them, how he supports them. And I think that's not normal. I think it's something what I should appreciate, what we should appreciate in this club, that having a player who's not only taking care of his own ego, because in the end, in football, there are a lot of egos, and it's a lot about scoring, it's a lot about making assists, but he's taking care of the whole environment, of his teammates, and not only of himself. And that's something what is, for me, very surprisingly, and I don't take it as normal.
That's Fabian Ertzler on Danny Welbeck. We'll come back to Danny Welbeck in a second, actually. Let's check in first on that big game in the Women's Super League, the early kickoff, Arsenal-Manchester City. Sahail Sahi.
Arsenal leading by a goal to nil. We've got 9 minutes of this first half to play. The goal came through Frida Marnham after 8 minutes. Since you were with me last, Blastinius has had a good chance. She skipped past the Manchester City goalkeeper, but scuffed her shot just wide from inside the penalty area. And then for Gino for Manchester City, who's across from the left-hand side from Lauren Hemp. Virginia was all alone, but her effort was blocked by a scrambling Katie McCabe. We've got eight minutes to play in the first half. Arsenal 1, Manchester City 0.
A bit of breaking news to bring you. Cardiff City have sacked manager Errol Bullock. They are bottom of the Championship. 1 point picked up from their 6 games. They lost 2-0 to Leeds United yesterday. So first team coach Nicolas Cardias is also going. Omar Reza is going to take charge of the club on an interim basis. We've got Stephen Warnock and Ali Bruce Ball at Brighton versus Nottingham Forest. Full commentary at 2. We've got Nader Manua, Ellen White, Julien Laron, all with us as well. Nadim, I've got to bring you in on Danny Welbeck. You were there right at the start of his professional career. Were you together at Sunderland?
That's right, yeah. That's right, Sunderland in the Premier League, for all those that, you know, aren't old enough to remember that.
Oh. Could happen next season based on what we're seeing at the minute.
Are they top of the Championship?
They are, yeah.
Oh, they're coming back. He was very, very good. He came on loan from Man United, and I was very, very impressed with him. We had a mix of sort of youth and experience within that side. You're talking about the likes of Bolo Zenden's, Jordan Henderson, a young Jordan Henderson, the year before he went to Liverpool. And he was very, very good as a striker, scored some big goals, some big, big moments. And I think, as his manager was saying there, though, just a good guy as well. You know, really wants to work at his craft. He's got all the talent in the world. Some of his movement, as sharp as I've seen, some of his finishing, as good as I've seen. And that story that we were hearing just before about him the day before Champions League final, I can believe it because I saw it myself. So for him to still be playing today is amazing. And to give him credit, I think he scored his 100th career goal, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. So even though the goals haven't been plentiful, there's still a lot more than a lot of people who we perceive to be better than him. And best of all now, I think the fact that his manager doesn't acknowledge his age is probably a good thing, since his manager's younger than him.
I've never heard that mentioned before. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just in case anyone was curious. But that that makes a difference, because the manager, it's not as if he's had him from when he was 17, so he can't say he's lost this or lost that. It's just, what can you do for me now? And he can lead the line for a Brighton side who this season have been impressive. And best of all, in my opinion, in the last few years, he's been a lot more available than he was in previous ones. So maybe he's trending in the right direction in terms of good health, and he's getting the credit that I think he deserves.
And I think to play under De Zerbi, you need to be more, just to go back to your point about it's not just about goals, or what Ellen and Stephen were saying, it's so true, because to play for De Zerbi, you need to be an all-around, really, really good number nine. And it's funny, because we bumped into each other with our families on a weekend in a hotel, and what struck me the most about Danny is his love for football and his passion. And we talked about football so much together, so long, about anything, tactics, players that he faced, players that he played with. Didn't mention Nathan, but maybe if I just had asked him about Sunderland years, he would have all of that. And
is this how you're going to do it? Yeah?
No. I'm just saying.
Okay, no problem.
And it was brilliant. And I think to last that long and to still be influential, you could be 33 and play the odd game when you come off the bench for the last 10 minutes, and it's good, and you finish your contract and you're happy and you've had a good career. But to still be that influential, you must love the game and your football IQ must be so developed compared to others.
Stephen, the other thing that I think is worth mentioning on Danny Welbeck is, even though we are discussing a player who doesn't need to score goals to be very influential, actually, when you look at the way he started this season, I was staggered to find out, even despite his injuries, he hasn't scored double figures ever in a Premier League season. This could be the one at 33.
Yeah, quite possibly. I think you've just robbed Ali's line from during
Sorry,
the game.
Ali.
He was looking forward to using that one.
Sorry.
I've got a Danny Welbeck related quiz question for you coming as well, Steve, but I'll let Stephen finish. So having nicked my line, I'm going to set you the question. We'll see how we go.
Yeah. And the other point I just wanted to touch on was what's interesting from Fabian Hertzler's point of view, and I've noticed it probably recently within the last 5 years, and whether it's a trend within managers or up-and-coming coaches, is they like experienced players. They like experience that are on the pitch, that are able to pass on the message of the coaching methods or the ideas behind the game. You look at James Milner, the age of James now at 37, coming into Brighton. Managers used to fear experience, because what they'd fear is that they'd be next in line for the job, or they'd be looking to take their job down the line. That's not the case. Players are desperate just to play as long as they can possibly play. But now we're starting to see the modern day managers, coach, embrace those players and know how important they can be, not only on the pitch, but also around the changing room, to set the standards, to embrace those standards of winning mentalities and good habits. And I think Danny Welbeck falls under that as well. I think he's been a magnificent professional.
Go on then, Ali, let's have it.
I like the fact that Fabian, as Nathan picked up on there, I like the fact that Fabian Hertzler actually described him as a gentleman. And I think he meant that, wasn't it? That wasn't misspeaking in terms of a character, a leader in the team, and what a thoroughly decent fella he is. The other point I just make on the goals as well, actually, Steve, is Danny Welbeck's international record is almost 1-2 for England when he played. So it's certainly not that club football, but when he played internationally, 16 goals in 42 England caps, again, point to quality. Here's your question. It's not actually about Danny Welbeck. He is on 71 Premier League goals. No, he's not. He's on 69. Chris Wood is on 71. That's why I was looking at this today.
You've been thrown by me using your stat, haven't you?
Who's the current Premier League player who is closest to the 100 club? So I think there's 34 of them in the 100 club. Current Premier League player who is closest to getting there. He's 12 goals away. That's your quiz question before kick-off here today.
All right, well, given all of Colin Murray's conundrums were dispatched very
were
quickly.
They? Were
oh,
they?
Yeah. All by Nadim, unfortunately. We'll have that, 85058 at 5 Live Sport. Right, thank you very much, you two. We will speak to Ali and Stephen again a little bit closer to kick-off. Full commentary on the way. Brighton versus Nottingham Forest. Then here, we're live at the Etihad for Manchester City versus Arsenal. Correspondent John Murray has joined us as well. Good afternoon.
Yes, hello everybody.
You're pouring through the programme. Anything jumped out to you so far?
I was just actually having a little look to see what the various bits and pieces were in there. And today's match has actually been dedicated to the memory of Howard Bernstein, who died during the summer. You know, a very big figure in the history of Manchester City. So I was just reading a tribute to him from the current chairman, actually. And so I guess there'll be something about that a little bit later on as well during the course of the build-up.
Absolutely. Now, Ellen White's tablet has just been thrown off of her lap because Nader Manua is going a bit crazy. Perhaps Sahel Sahi, you can explain why.
It's because Manchester City have equalised. We've got 2 minutes to play of the first half. It's Arsenal 1, Manchester City 1. The ball was ricocheting around the edge of Arsenal's penalty area. It broke to Vivian Miedemar. She hustled her way into the edge of Arsenal's penalty area. She took the shot. The goal's been credited to her, but I believe it'll eventually be credited to Leah Cadena for an own goal. It came off her back. Manuela Zinsberger, the Arsenal goalkeeper, was moving to her left and it went past her to her right. Currently it stands Arsenal 1, Manchester City 1.
I've just got my hands on a programme as well. It's a beautiful Manchester City programme today, as John was saying, with the face of Sir Howard Bernstein on the front of it. There have been more tributes played this week to another real icon, Brian Clough, passing away 20 years ago this week. So many tributes to him. Famously played for both Sunderland and Middlesbrough. They paid tribute to him when they played each other on Saturday. Managed both Forest and Brighton, of course, and they're playing each other at 2 o'clock in our first commentary game. But Forest is the place where he is most fondly remembered, although there is a lot of competition for that. We can hear from the current Forest boss, Nuno Espirito Santo, speaking to David Jackson about Clough from BBC Radio Nottingham.
It's present in us every day. We go around the club and we see how Brian Clough was important for Forest and what he achieved and how things change. I think the mentality of knowing that anything is possible in football, I think is the credit to Brian and the players of that more fantastic moments.
You'd have been a young boy when he was having his great European success, of course. But I wonder if, as you become a football coach, do you study in any way that, you know, the greats, not necessarily only Brian Clough, but, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson's, your Bob Paisley's, your Bill Shankly's, all of those big football managers. Yeah. You'll have them in Portugal as well, I know.
Yes, yes.
Do you sort of take stuff from those?
Of course.
Managers?
There's so much literature, and if you go deep and try to understand the evolution of the game, Sacchi, for example, this great Milan team in Portugal, Sporting, when Real Madrid. And you start, if you go deep and you try to understand how the game has evolved and it now is going back again, it's curious, but this will be a longer talk, a much longer talk. But of course, me personally, I try to go 30, 40 years ago. There's no too much things, but you still can find some videos, some footage, and you see things that football players did because essentially they play with freedom.
Nuno Espirito Santo on Brian Clough. And actually, John Murray, speaking really well.
Yes, and, you know, I'm probably a similar age, I would have thought, to Nuno. So my memories of Brian Clough, very, very similar. You know, I mean, you were talking before about managers who were influential. I mean, he is one of the most influential. And I would go so far as to say that he is one of the biggest footballing figures there's ever been in the game in this country. And I think he would have fitted right in with what we have now, because at that time he was ahead of his time. So he was this character who's larger than life, but he'd had a brilliant playing career as well, as you say, scoring goals for Middlesbrough, superb goal scoring record for Middlesbrough, then went to Sunderland, scored goals there as well, but got injured and therefore his playing career ended early. So, you know, he had done it on the pitch, and then he did it as a manager as well. And I think that the teams that he put together, players that you wouldn't necessarily have thrown together, because he had the eye and he had that managerial ability as well, which I think is, you know, streets ahead of anyone else. And also, he was such a public figure as well. You know, he crossed the divide there in that he was on TV panels in the early days of TV panels, when people had never seen anything like this before. And this guy, Brian Clough, would come on there with people like Malcolm Allison and, you know, other big personalities, and Jack Charlton was another one, and they would
Don Revie, and they would just
project out of the screen. So he became a household name, not just in football, but in wider life, and, you know, had opinions on absolutely everything. Proud socialist, you know, very proud of his working class roots on Teesside, and therefore, you know, he crossed so many boundaries and touched so many people. And actually, you mentioned Don Revie there, and I think it was the anniversary of that famous interview, wasn't it, the other week as well? So therefore, the pictures were coming out when Austin Mitchell interviewed Brian Clough on the night that he was sacked by Leeds United after whatever it was, 44 days, with also Don Revie in the studio with him. I mean, we think now that we're ahead, you know, we think now, well, the media now is, you know, they can do anything now, and we are it has the level now that it is, and it's all powerful. That happened back in the 70s. That would never, ever, ever happen now. You would never get that.
And I also think as well, John, that I mean, obviously, geography plays. Like, I'm far too young to remember Brian Clough as a player, but because we are from the same town, then I sort of you get to know the legend of him. And we could talk about his achievements and obviously winning back-to-back European Cups with Nottingham Forest as a manager. But I do think it is, and you've done a wonderful job of it there, you know, it's an opportunity to bring Brian Clough to a new generation,
yeah,
because there'll be a massive, you know, I'm 38 and I don't remember him as a player or a manager, so there'll be loads of people listening who won't have experienced it.
Yeah. And listen, I never met him. He was when I was starting out doing this job, he was a kind of, even though he was in the game, he was the manager at Forest, I'm pretty sure, well, he was a kind of mystical distant figure back then, because they didn't, you know, he did what he pleased. Nobody told Brian Clough what to do. And now, you know, all of the various deals and are in place, and that the managers have to come and do all the interviews and come and they have to come and speak to Five Live and the radio stations, what have you. When I was first dispatched to do Nottingham Forest games, it was a complete mystery as to whether he'd turn up or not after a match. And so I've got memories of standing in the corridor at the City Ground with my tape recorder thinking, is he coming or is he not? He never did.
Just to finish, Jules, as well, I'm just curious. Because obviously there's that film, The Damned United, which will have brought Brian Clough to a wider global audience. But is that even necessary? Would he be a global figure anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the legends of the games, of the English game especially. But everything that John described much better than I would anyway. But what he won, obviously, but also the character that he was, the punchlines, the image that he had. And even in France, there was a lot in, I remember in L'Équipe, many, reading many articles about him and about what he'd achieved in his career. So for me, a name that goes way beyond just the Great Britain's or England's frontiers or, you know, country.
He's also the only person I can think of who, you know, when sort of people talk about a team and the manager becomes, so for example, it would be like Nottingham Forest, Brian Clough, etc. He's the only football figure that I can remember where the place they were born is included within it. So whenever he's mentioned where I'm from, it's Brian Clough, Valley Road, Middlesbrough. That's always how it's described. Remarkable man, incredible career, and yeah, just the fact that his passing 20 years on is being marked, as we were saying, opportunity to bring the name Brian Clough perhaps to a new generation who didn't get to experience him. And I'm sure lots of Nottingham Forest fans and fans of all of the clubs, Derby County as well, as another one that we should mention, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, very briefly the manager at Brighton as well, they will be remembering him today as well, I'm absolutely sure. Right, the halftime whistle has gone at the Emirates. Arsenal versus Manchester City, of course, in the WSL this morning. Sahel Sahi.
Yeah, 1-1 here, Steve. After a shaky start, Arsenal settled with the opening goal after 8 minutes. A cross wasn't dealt with by the Manchester City defence, Frida Marnham. She reacted quickest and converted 8 yards away. Chances were missed then by both sides. Blackstenius for Arsenal and Fagino for the visitors. And then enter Vivian Miedema. She was causing Arsenal problems throughout the half, and this time she forced her way into the area. After a few fortunate breaks, she took aim, and a deflection by Leah Cadena helped her equalise against her former club. Half-time here, Arsenal 1, Manchester City 1.
Much more to come on Brighton against Nottingham Forest. Full commentary on the way on 5 Live at 2 o'clock. We're going to turn our attention back here at the Etihad, though. Manchester City versus Arsenal, 4:30. Full commentary here on 5 Live. And we're going to hear from the Arsenal goalkeeper, David Raya. He's been speaking to 5 Live's George Cummins before, for what it's worth, that amazing double save on Thursday night in the Champions League. Here he is.
It was a dream come true to come to this fantastic football club. At the time I was on loan, of course, but then in the summer finalising my contract and everything. But it's just it was a year of adaptation mainly, and it was a lot of noise from the outside. But I thought I dealt it well, and it's just this season I'm trying to carry on and be even better.
You talk about the adaptation. Can you just tell us and our listeners how you've changed as a goalkeeper?
Of course, it's completely different now. Coming from Brentford, that you don't have the ball that much and you get shot every 5 minutes, like they're on your goal, and coming here to a team that we dominate most of the teams, and you don't have much to do, but when you have to do it, you have to save it, because you have two or three defensive actions in a game, and you have to be that focused and concentrate to deal with those balls. And of course I had to change my style of play, because at Brentford we used to like play a bit more long, and but here is more like tactically and a lot of information when what to do and when to do it. So it was adaptation of like a lot of things, and new club, it was new teammates, new staff and new demands.
But you're fundamental now in the way Arsenal play, in the way you start actually a lot of attacks, don't you, from the way you play out from the back. Very forward thinking, keep it on the deck, and off Arsenal goes. So is that one of the things that Arteta said that he wants from you?
Yeah, I think he always wanted that. He was we play with 11 players, so why not use the keeper as an extra man? Because you cannot press 11 players with 10 players, so you just get that extra man to find an advantage and then go forwards. So and I love it. I really really enjoy it. I like to be part to on the build up and trying to be the first attacker and the last defender.
If we could just look back a little bit of last season, Golden Glove, PFA Team of the Year, just a couple of things you achieved at Arsenal. What do them awards mean to you to pick up?
No, it means a lot. Of course, it's the first time that I'm in the team of the season in the Premier League, and the first time I win the Golden Glove in the Premier League. So obviously, so happy that those awards are regarded by, obviously the clean sheets are clean sheets, but the PFA is just voted by my fellow teammates from the Premier League. So delighted that I was in the team, and it means that hard work pays off and everything is possible.
Well, we've reached the business end of the shootout, and now Galeno must score, otherwise Porto are out and Arsenal are through. And up comes Galeno! And Raya saves, diving to his left, and Arsenal are through! Arsenal players go racing after their goalkeeper and celebrate in front of the North Bank stand!
Did you feel a connection with the Arsenal fans when you made that penalty save against Porto? Because you're smiling about it now, but I was there that night, and it felt like a big night for the club, but also maybe a big night for you.
Yeah, I think that was a turning point with me and the fans and the club.
It just clicked.
It just clicked together. I think I needed one of those moments to click with everyone, and I think it was that turning point against Porto that it just happens and is in a better way than doing in the Champions League.
Rodgers, and then the shot, and then it deflected, hits the bar. Watkins was looking to head it in from 7 yards out, but Raya somehow recovered and was able to claw it away.
This season, you haven't done badly. There's two saves against Wolves that you kept out. And can you just talk us through Ollie Watkins, that save? There was another game I was out. I think we all thought in the commentary team that the ball was in the net. But that's quick reflexes. So is that just hard work in the trap? What made you get up and think, I've got to keep this out of the net?
Yeah, I think when he gets a deflection from Gavi, I go to the right, and then I realise he just gets deflected, and of course I try to save the first ball, he hits the bar, and then as soon as he hits the bar, I just put my head up and I see Ollie Watkins just free, so I just started to stand up as quick as possible, and it's just a matter of like milliseconds that you have to react. I was lucky enough to react the right way and just palm me away. And of course, it's a lot of training. Of course, you cannot replicate this action, but you can replicate a lot of actions of where you save one ball and then you go for the next one. So just to keep it alive. So that's a repetition of years doing those type of exercises that obviously against Villa has paid off.
We sit here now in September. What do you want to achieve this season at Arsenal?
My mission is help the team to win games. And of course, win trophies. Win trophies. That is a club that needs to win trophies every year. So we're going to push for everything and give our all. And let's see where we are in at the end of the season. But yeah, of course, win trophies and bring some happiness to the Arsenal fans.
Great interview that. David Raya speaking to Five Lives, George Cummins. I think they had to bring that interview to an end, Nadim, because it sounded like there was a van reversing. So.
it's not ideal. It's not ideal at all. But I think for me to look at David Raya and see the fact that obviously he was selected in that PFA team of the season last year, that's a huge honour, as he's mentioned, because that's your peers voting for you. And when I say your peers, these aren't necessarily all your friends. These are people who play in the same league as you and say, yeah, this guy was the best this year. And to go forward to this season, the start that he's had, it's like he's backing it up. At this point last year, people were talking more about Arteta. Well, who's number one? Is it Ramsdale? Is it Raya? Is he going to rotate? Is he going to do this? But now there's one clear number one. There's another goalkeeper that's playing in Ramsdale in a different club now. So things have changed. And it's funny that we're sort of hyping up his penalty record now. Because have you seen it historically?
No.
Brace yourself, okay? So he saved 4 out of his last 8. And before that, he conceded 19 in a row. Talk about like a change in fortune. Yeah. But for the one in midweek against Atalanta, I don't know if anyone saw from the BBC Champions League highlights.
Good, well done.
But as the penalty was given, or there was a long VAR check, he went over to the halfway line. And I think he was standing with the goalkeeper coach.
Yeah.
And they were just talking to each other. Everyone else was caught up in everything else. Then when it was time for the penalty, usually see goalkeepers being silly like they are, pushing crossbars, jumping up and down. He was just half squatted down, hands on his knees, just looking at the guy because he knew exactly where he was going to go as a goalie. And the reward was there with the save. And the second part of it, getting up the way that he did, it's very, very impressive. And this is without doubt one of the best goalkeepers in the Premier League.
Do you know what I thought was interesting in that interview, Ellen? He was talking about, quote unquote, dealing with the noise. And that's obviously what Nadim was talking about last year and, you know, Ramsdale and Raya and all that kind of thing. The fact that he started on the back foot there with the fans because he was replacing a very popular figure, especially as a goalkeeper, it's quite a big ask to turn it round in the way he has.
Yeah, it's challenging, isn't it? It's not ideal for him to feel that way. And I think Arteta put him in a difficult spot, really, a difficult position, because, you know, he's come in and Arteta's clearly said that I want you to be my number one. It seems that way. You know, he did say that he would rotate a little bit, but at the same time, Arteta did put faith in him, and he has had to win the fans over, and he did. And he did make quite a few mistakes, didn't he? I remember actually the Arsenal Man City game where I think it was Alvarez blocked him in a clearance in the 6-yard box. That nearly went in. He was a little bit shaky in his box. And it's a new style of play for him as well. He's coming into a team that is very football possession based. He's not probably getting as many shots as he normally would. So he's had to adapt. His mentality seems phenomenal for what he has had to go through at the same time. So he's obviously worked really hard on the training field, and you can see that's all coming to fruition for obviously being in the PFA team of the year and what he's now doing in the Premier League, especially the start of the season, because that double save was unbelievable, that Ollie Watkins one as well. Just, yeah, he seems to be in a really kind of fresh frame of mind, and also having the back line that he does and the defence in front of him does help, and that relationship that they've built throughout the last couple of seasons as well.
We were talking at the start of this half hour about Brian Clough's team, and he identified Peter Shilton as the man that he wanted to have as his goalkeeper. And at that time, when he was at his best, when Forest were winning the league and winning the European Cups that they did, he was recognised in exactly the same way as Nadim has just described. You know, he was thought of as the man the goalkeeper who wins his team points. And that, I think that's how you think of Raya at the moment.
10 years ago, he was playing for Stockport, just down the road in the 5th division. And I think
Southport,
he shows you...
Wasn't it?
Sorry?
Southport.
Yeah. Oh, that's Stockport and Southport.
It's just a longer road. It's just a longer road.
It's not far from it, right? Yeah, it's still down the road.
The point was that he was also in the 5th division. And I think he turned 29 last week. And this is something that 10 years ago, nobody would have thought he could one day play in the Champions League, let alone for one of the best teams in this league and a team that can potentially go and win the title. And again, it shows you that you just don't give up. You keep believing, keep working hard, and it can happen for you.
Southport, yeah, just double checked. Yeah. I managed to correct you on something. That's
because
amazing.
The train this morning stopped at Stockport, and I think I got confused. I don't know where Southport is. In the south, probably.
Merseyside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Down the road. It's still down the road.
It's near Leatham St. Anne's, Jules.
You know the Leatham St. Anne's, Jules?
No, what?
Never mind.
sorry, John.
I thought you would have been to Leatham.
No, I don't
thought
think
that
so.
Would have been right up your street.
No.
Yeah.
That's a golf place, isn't it, Leatham St. Anne's?
A golf place. But it hosts the Open Championship.
That's the one, yeah.
Now and again.
Right. You can see why I don't present golf. Ellen, we said we were going to have a quick word on Erling Haaland, so let's have a quick word on Erling Haaland. The stat today is if he scores this afternoon, obviously that's his 100th goal for Manchester City, he'd also equal a record set by Cristiano Ronaldo, getting to 100 in actually exactly 105 games. At a time when Rodri and other players, Jules Koundé was the latest the other day, are talking about might consider striking because the amount of football, there is a guy who, brilliant as he is clearly benefiting from having had a summer off.
It's pretty decent stats, isn't it, really?
It's
yeah,
not bad.
Pretty average. You can see that he's well rested. He's obviously gone home. you know, raw milk. I've heard that that's the one you need to be having to well, be
have,
the...
Have you heard about grounding?
No.
So this is from Jason Burt's piece in The Telegraph. So it's grounding is being barefoot most of the time. And, of course, it's so that you pick up the Earth's surface electrons and you avoid those negative electrons.
Oh, yeah, 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 totally.
Got to avoid
totally,
those
totally.
Negative
yeah,
electrons,
yeah,
Ellen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he does just seem... I didn't think it was possible to go to another level, but he just seems fresh, ready. To have achieved 100 goals potentially for City this afternoon in 105 appearances is just phenomenal. His movement, his technique, you know, he scored a number of goals with that little dink in the Premier League the last few games, and nobody can figure out his runs. He just seems just so powerful, and it is just incredible to watch. And I think every young striker, every striker in the Premier League needs to watch his movement, because it is just phenomenal, just the way that he kind of glides. He's constantly looking at the centre halves, what's going to happen, but his team are always looking for him at the same time. And I just think that he could break incredible records this season again.
Yeah, obviously I'm blue, so I hope he does. And I hope today's the day for him to get to 100 goals. And the way that he's done it has been remarkable, because you could say the two seasons have been very different so far. The first season, he breaks the Premier League goal-scoring record. The second season, he ends up top scorer again. But he spends probably half the season being criticised for some of his finishing and some of the big chances that he misses. But then in the summer, when all those other teams are away and some of those players are playing at the Euros or people going away to the Olympics, he's itching to play. And I think when you said that, you know, you wondered how he could get to the next level, again, I think at times we need to step back and realise a lot of the players who are the best right now, they're still so young and they're learning so much. They're getting some of the best coaching, they're around some of the best players, they've got some of the best facilities. And even like Steve was saying about the grounding thing, for me, Haaland's somebody who's like several others, he's trying to find that 1%. And that 1% can be the difference between, say, a team being successful and one not being. We're seeing investment in set-piece coaches, there's diet, there's everything. And Haaland strives to be the best that he can. His objective one day will be to be objectively the best striker in the world. I don't know if we'll ever get there, but he's going to do everything he can to make sure that's the case.
Yeah, the way he started this season, and if he continues like this, this is the best example and should be called up by all of us all the time, and every time we have the debate over how players should play fewer games at the very top level.
How do you avoid those negative electrons, John, just out of interest?
Well, as I was explaining the other night, I also was brought up drinking cows straight from the milk straight
what,
from
drinking
the
cows?
Drinking cows. Drinking
cows
raw
alone.
Cows.
I bet that's what they do at that golf place.
And it's very good for you.
Okay, well, there you go. Right, full commentary on the way at 2 o'clock of Brighton versus Nottingham Forest. We've got much more to come on that. We'll take you around all the other live sport as well after the news on 5 Live with Richard Foster.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Thanks and good afternoon. The Deputy Prime Minister doesn't think she broke any rules when she stayed in the New York flat of a Labour donor. Angela Rayner has told the BBC her donations and gifts are declared and the government is open and transparent. She's also made the first big speech of the party conference in Liverpool. Our political correspondent Alex Forsyth is there.
You won't be surprised that Angela Rayner didn't mention the stories that have been running through the course of the past week in the run-up to this conference. Instead, what she was focused on was marking the fact that this was a Labour victory after 14 years of opposition at the general election. That got a huge round of applause.
31 people have been arrested across the UK as part of an investigation into people smuggling gangs. The Home Office says hundreds of thousands of pounds was seized, as well as counterfeit identity documents. More than 700 migrants crossed the Channel yesterday, taking the overall total for the year to more than 24,000. At least 4 people have been killed and dozens injured in a mass shooting in the United States. The attack happened in Birmingham in the state of Alabama last night. No arrests have been made. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his military has hit Hezbollah in ways it cannot imagine after a string of cross-border attacks. Hezbollah has launched more than 100 missiles into northern Israel from Lebanon. And the Crown Prosecution Service has confirmed it reviewed an allegation of rape against Mohammed Al-Fayed back in 2015, but took no action due to a lack of evidence. Lawyers say that they've received 150 new inquiries since a BBC documentary about the billionaire who died last year.
I'm Kim Cattrall, and I want to tell you about my new podcast, a new audio drama telling the history of the CIA from the inside out.
The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
He's
got to convince Congress to give him an open checkbook now.
America has suffered its worst domestic attack of the 20th century at Pearl Harbor.
How do we make contact with the NKGB?
Central Intelligence, starring me, Kim Cattrall, Ed Harris, and Johnny Flynn.
There's $50,000 in it for you if you say yes.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
This is Five Live Sport
with Steve Crossman.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
Let's take you live to Singapore. Does Lando Norris still lead the Grand Prix? Harry Benjamin.
He does indeed, Lando Norris. This has been an absolute walkover so far for the British driver, who got a good start, currently leads by 16.8 seconds. Max Verstappen is championship rival with the advantage in the Drivers' Championship, but is nearly 20 seconds back now. This is going so well for Norris and McLaren, but we've still got a long way to go. Lap 23 of 62 and the front runners yet to pit.
To Wentworth and the final round of the PGA Championship, Ian Carter.
Italy's Matteo Manassero still out in front, the champion here in 2013. He wobbled on the fourth, a bogey at that par five, bounced back with a brilliant tee shot at the short fifth, and that yielded the birdie that's taken him to 19 under par. Two shots clear of Billy Horschel and also Wolverhampton's Aaron Rye, who's charging five under for his opening seven holes. So he's at 17 under par. Rory McIlroy is at 16 under par. He's just parred the fifth and on the sixth has found the green in two, but at 16 under, he's one under for the day and three shots behind.
Highlights, BBC Two, 6 p.m. tonight, the Grand Prix live right now on Five Sports Extra. To Deepdale in the Championship, Charlie Slater.
Where there won't be many highlights at all, 81 minutes on the clock, 0-0, very little to separate the two sides other than the fact that Preston have been down at 10 since late in the first half after Sam Greenwood was sent off. Otherwise though, kind of a boring game, 0-0.
To the game next that Ellen White has her eyes absolutely glued to, Arsenal-Manchester City in the WSL, Sahel.
And it's a good game, I don't blame her, Steve. It's 1-1, we've played 7 minutes of the second half. Better start to the second half from Arsenal. They've had lots of little moments around Manchester City's penalty area without capitalising. So 52 minutes played, Arsenal 1, Manchester City 1.
In 20 minutes' time, we'll be underway in the second game of the day, which is Liverpool versus Leicester. Sani Ruddrivadula.
A new era for both. Liverpool in a new home at St Helens. Fourth last season, nine off the top three. That's the aim for Matt Beard's side. They beat Leicester 4-0 on the final day. Nine of that 11 start with a debut for record signing forward Olivia Smith. Leicester have a new Frenchwoman in charge, Amandine Mikel, aiming to push above 10. Four change from her, including new signing from Manchester City, Ruby Mace.
Thank you, Sonny. Still raining, by the way, at Trent Bridge, so no play yet in the one-day cup final between Somerset and Glamorgan. If they don't get any play by 4 o'clock, then they have to try again tomorrow. We've got Nader Manua, Ellen White, Julien Laurent all with us. Why don't we have a quick chat about the opening weekend of the new WSL season, Ellen, since we've just been checking in. If you can tear your eyes away from the screen, by the way, because that's so important. For an opening weekend fixture, that is huge.
Oh, yes, it is a huge game to kind of stamp your authority, I think. And I'm hoping it doesn't end in a draw, and I hope that someone does end up winning. But very good crowd at the Emirates as well, promoting, obviously, the women's game. But, yeah, I was at the game Chelsea-Villa on Friday night. Sonia Bombastor's first game in charge, first 3 points for her. I thought, you know, Chelsea grounded out the win and got the 3 points which they needed. Villa looked very good second half. They looked like they could probably do something this season. So, yeah, incredible. I've been kind of waiting for the WSL to start, really. So it's great that it's finally starting this weekend.
Do you know, there was a brilliant banner that I saw at King's Meadow, which was this big image, beautiful painting of Sonia Bonpastor, and it said, Vive la Révolution, because, of course, she's French. But I just wondered, Ellen, is it la Révolution with Chelsea or not? It is obviously from the point of view of the manager, but what about when it comes to the players? And did you see, actually, watching Chelsea live, a significant difference yet between an Emma Hayes Chelsea and a Sonia Bonpastor Chelsea?
I think, firstly, you know, Emma Hayes was there for 12 years, and I think it was obviously time for Emma to move on, but it brings a freshness, something different. And I think, yeah, the first, I'd probably say the first kind of 30 minutes, you could see the aggression, the want to press, the hard work, the desire. I think obviously Villa came back into the game second half, and you really saw this Chelsea team that really ground out. They had to suffer the second half. So I think you'll see a little bit more as the season goes on, what Sonia will bring for this Chelsea team. But I think it's really exciting for her. I don't think she's got any pressure. What she achieved as a player and what she achieved at Lyon, the first woman to win the Champions League both as a player and a manager, I don't think she has got pressure. I think she's pressure on herself, but I think it's really exciting for the fans and for the players. It's completely new season, a new fresh start for everyone.
Yeah, I watched the game and the show. Ellen was very good. I thought Sonia was very good as well. And you ask her at the end about some different position for some players, and I think this is maybe where the difference will be. I think she maybe sees some players in slightly different position than what they were playing under Emma Hayes. But I just like the way she spoke, and her English is already very good. I haven't spoken to her since she moved over. She was far too busy for that. But she's great in everything I think she represents as well. And I think she's got an amazing squad. The best squad for me in the league, without a doubt. And then maybe even in Europe. So I think she will do really well. But what I'm more interested in, because I think they will win trophies and titles, it's more like you were saying, how they play, and if she can put her stamp a little bit on this team that has been so good now for so many years, even if in the Champions League they still haven't got all the way. But I think she will bring something different to Emma, because she's a different personality, and I think you will see that in the way her team plays.
Yeah, I think she just needs a little bit of time as well, doesn't she, to bring in her philosophy and the way that she wants to play. And you could already see this, like, tweaks. You saw at the back, the switch, like Millie going kind of left yeah. And then I've already forgotten her name.
Go on.
Give us a clue.
No, the centre half. Anyway, I just saw a slight switch, and Guru Wrighton was in that 10 pocket. So it's really exciting for the fans to see the players in slightly different positions and what she'll do throughout the season for this Chelsea team. And obviously, it'll need the players a little bit of time to adapt to what Sonia wants from them. So I think it's really exciting for that Chelsea
Lawrence,
team.
Lawrence, have I made that up?
No, Buchanan was playing.
Buchanan. Sorry, I should have known that.
It's all right, I think it's okay. It's only live radio. Right, why don't we take our attention back to Brighton, Nottingham Forest then, because kick-off there in just 14 minutes' time. Full commentary here on 5 Live. We've got Ali Bruce-Ball and Stephen Warnock there. Stephen, we talked a lot about Brighton, so let's just focus in on Nottingham Forest. Morgan Gibbs-White got his England debut, of course, in the week. He's a growing presence in that team. He knows Nuno Espirito Santo well. If you were picking one player right now who's key to their success, how high up the list is he?
He'd be very high, because he's a game changer, and game changers within the Premier League and any football game are vitally important, because a game could be so close and sort of ebbing each way, and then all of a sudden you've got that moment of quality where he sees a pass or he produces a piece of skill that unlocks a defence, and that can be everything. I actually think what will help him is James Ward-Prowse behind him. I think he will be vitally important to the progression of Morgan Gibbs-White over the next season or so, because just that, and I know you were talking before about centre-back partnerships, and you're talking about Saliba and Gabriel. Well, I think relationships in behind us, as in behind strikers, when to press, when to go, when to sit in, when that things just aren't quite going your way and you've got to stay in a little bit more organised for 5-10 minutes, then he goes, do you know what, now's your time to go, release yourself, now's the time. Just that experience behind him, and I don't feel Forrest have had that in that last couple of years, where he can be vital to help Morgan Gibbs-White. So that relationship between them two could be absolutely crucial.
I think we all know in football the perfect goal is from outside the area, in off the underside of the crossbar. Sahail Sahi.
Call me Steve. Arsenal 1, Manchester City 2. Jess Park with a goal. It was a dinked-in cross from Lauren Hemp from the edge of the penalty area. The Arsenal defence headed it out. It fell to Jess Park on the arc of the D. She hit it right-footed. It hit the underside of the crossbar, as you beautifully described, Steve. And it bounced onto the goal line, into the roof of the net. Manchester City lead Arsenal by 2-1. We've played an hour.
So we've had another goal at the Emirates and another red card at Deepdale. Charlie Slater.
Yeah, what we lack in goals, we're making up for in red cards. Blackburn down to 10 men now as well. Owen Beck, who's on loan from Liverpool, sent off. He kicks Dwayne Holmes up in the air after the play should have stopped already. Not a huge amount in it anyway, but you know how referees sometimes love to even it up. And so it's 0-0, and now both sides have got 10 players for the final minute plus stoppage time.
Thank you very much, Charlie. So Arsenal 1, Manchester City 2. We will keep you right up to date with that during commentary here of Nottingham Forest game at Brighton. We have Stephen and Ali there. We've got Nader Manua, Ellen White, Julian Aron still with us here. Nader, given we've talked a lot about centre-backs today, as Stephen was saying, Murillo at Nottingham Forest feels like he is the one player that they would have most hated to lose in the summer, at a time when, with everything that's happening with financial fair play, they were probably being more cautious than most.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he's been very, very impressive, and he's been one of the standout players in that back line. I think for myself, being Nigerian, I quite like Ola Aina as well, but Murillo's been very, very good. And I think this season for Forest, you're seeing, for me, a continuation of the trend which they had last year, because even though they were down there scrapping as such, I thought defensively overall they were pretty good. The chances they were giving up to the opposition was never that plentiful, and it always felt like they were, whoever was playing against them was in a tough game. Add to that this year some of that counter-attacking ability, as we saw at Anfield last week where they won, and it's good to have someone like Murillo in there, tough defender, good on the ball, super competitive, and basically he's a huge part of the identity of that back line and that football club. So it is good for them that they've managed to keep him. Obviously, as we look back in many years' time at this sort of like PSR era, it will be quite confusing to see why someone left, someone came, and so on and so forth. But that's a big keep, and now that team is definitely looking up the table. And as the guys were saying, if Arsenal don't win today, one of these sides, in Forest in particular, could be in the top four.
Yeah, I think PSR deadline day is definitely something that we will hear more about in future years. It certainly happened with Forest and Newcastle with the transfers, which ended up with Elliot Anderson obviously coming to Forest. Stephen, maybe we should be giving Ola Aina a little bit more love. He's the perfect player, actually, the perfect cross-section of Nader and you, really, starting as he does at fullback.
I really like him. I do. I think there's a maturity to his game. It's taken a while to get there. He is blessed with fantastic ability on the ball, both going forward and also from a defensive point of view. He's got incredible pace to be able to recover into position. Sometimes tactically, in the past, he let himself down a little bit, but I think he's vastly improved again in the last couple of years. I've watched him on a few occasions now where I've thought wingers might get the better of him, and he's just nullified them completely, because the great thing about him is that he's natural going both sides. Now, for a fullback, you have a strength. You have myself, I have my left foot. Nader has his right foot. You want to show players onto that. He's very gifted with both feet, so he's naturally happy to tackle on both sides. That's a nightmare for a winger, because he's thinking, well, I'm showing him onto his weaker foot, but it's not actually his weaker foot. Then you try the other way, and you go, well, hang about, I'm not getting any change out of him here. So he's been excellent for Nottingham Forest. They're a really good addition.
Back to Brighton, let's hear from Jack Hinshelwood, starting in the midfield alongside Belaba this afternoon. He's been speaking to the former Brighton striker Glenn Murray for Football Focus about his new manager Fabian Ürsüler.
You can tell by the way we've started the season, there's a lot of freshness about the team, and everyone's really relishing the opportunity to work under him. He's been great for everyone so far, and we really just want to keep building on the start we've made.
And your rise has been so quick, hasn't it? Do you sometimes have to pinch yourself that you're fighting for a place alongside James Milner in midfield?
Definitely when I was injured, I took that time to sort of reflect on how far I've come. But when you're playing, you know, you're just looking every minute on the grass, off the grass. How can I be better? How can I keep pushing? I think you don't even have time to think about it sometimes.
Do you sometimes just see the likes of Milner, Welbeck, even Lallana last season, just opportunities to learn and grow and become a better player?
Yeah, I think every day, you know, when you come in the building, and there's so many opportunities to learn, and
not just out there on the pitch though, is it?
Yeah, of course, you know, you see the habits off the pitch, like you know, what they're eating, you take that into account, and how they act off the pitch, just little bits of advice they're so good at giving. To learn off them, I don't think there's anyone better to learn from, really.
And that rise has continued just recently with your England under-21s debut.
Yeah, you know, that was a really special moment. And my dad was in an England under-21 squad, and My granddad played two games for England under 21s. He used to tell me against East Germany and Norway, I think it was.
Well remembered.
Yeah. To follow in that sort of footsteps and make my own stamp on the team is really nice.
It's one step further now, isn't it?
That's
got to be the next one. I know it might be a long time in the future, but first one to do, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's something that is in my mind. It's in everybody who plays football's minds, but yeah, definitely. I think I just want to keep progressing, keep learning, and hopefully that opportunity might come.
Jack Hintrawood speaking to Glenn Murray. Stephen Warnock, forget what he said there about his manager. Just how he talks. He's 19. He does not sound like a 19-year-old.
No, he doesn't. He sounds very mature, doesn't he? And I think being in around ex-players grounds you very quickly. The understanding of how hard it is to reach it to the top level. The understanding of what it takes to get there. I think that's... it's invaluable, isn't it, to have those people to turn to talk to when things aren't quite going well, when you need grounding a little bit. But no, I think he's got his feet on the floor. I think, again, I go back to what Glenn was saying there, was James Milner, Adam Lallana, they're people who will ground you as well, that will bring you back down to earth, will make sure that the mindset is to progress, is to get better, is not to get too big for your boots. And he certainly seems like he's got his head on his shoulders.
Yeah, certainly does. A bit more breaking news for you. Two managers now have been sacked during Premier League Sunday. Coincidental, obviously. Hearts have sacked Stephen Naismith. They lost 2-1 to St Mirren yesterday, bottom of the Scottish Premiership. And if you didn't hear a little bit earlier this afternoon, Cardiff City have sacked Errol Bullock. They are bottom of the Championship. They've only picked up 1 point from their 6 matches. They lost 2-0 to Leeds United yesterday. Teams can't be far from taking the field at the Amex. Remember, we've got full commentary here at the Etihad of Manchester City versus Arsenal at 4:30. Earlier, Ali Bruce Ball asked his quiz question. Who is currently the closest to the 100 club in the Premier League who hasn't yet made it? Any answers from the panel here at the Etihad?
Anyone?
You
could be wrong, but I went Callum Wilson on 88. Is that correct?
Oh, he's good. He's good. I'm going to have to work harder. I'm going to have to work harder, Nathan. I tell you what, Erling Haaland's not too far away either.
Yeah, I was thinking
he's
that.
He's flying up that list. So you've got Wilson on 88, Rashford on 84. I've not written down all the numbers. Gabriel Jesus is just behind them. Then it's Haaland, then it's Ings, then it's Chris Wood, and then it's Danny Welbeck and Kevin De Bruyne as well, both on 69.
Did you Google it?
Did I Google the question? No, yeah. I Googled the player.
Right, so you Googled Callum Wilson to see what his number of goals were, and then already knowing that 88 was the number.
So that's...
Oh, I'm disappointed in
disappointed.
You.
Disappointed?
Yeah, that's poor.
Oh, I wonder how Ali Bruce Ball knew who was closest to the 100 club.
Yeah, but he set the question.
That's interesting.
He is the question master.
Yeah.
The master of questions.
This sounds like hate. Please carry on.
Full time at Preston in the Championship in a very eventful game, Charlie.
Oh yes, we've all been thrilled. 0-0 here. Both sides finished the game with 10 men. Preston dogging for the entire second half after Sam Greenwood was sent off for a dangerous tackle just before the break, before Owen Beck saw red in the last couple of minutes for kicking Holmes after the whistle. A fiery end to an otherwise dull game. Preston 3 without a win. Blackburn still unbeaten.
Nathan's going to be so moody now that I have to say bye to him in this very moment.
Are you playing on Tuesday?
Yes.
Look forward to it.
Nathan and I have a little football game that we play in every week, which now I'm going to be ill for. Nathan, Ellen, thank you very much as well. Jules, you're staying with us, Jules?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Julien Laurent will be with us all afternoon. Right, you can hear that Premier League anthem in the background, so it's time to hand you over for full commentary of Brighton versus Nottingham Forest to Stephen Warnock and Ali Bruce Ball.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome, everyone, to the Amex Stadium, home of Brighton and Hove Albion Football Club. Heavy clouds and grey skies above. The rain hasn't started falling yet. I'll be amazed if it doesn't do so in the next couple of hours. Stephen and I are going to need a row of Brighton fans to sit down before the game kicks off, because the seats we sit in here, Stephen, great view close to the pitch, but the seats themselves are actually so big that we can't stand up. and if they don't sit down, we can't see anything.
Oh, what a lovely view of a few jackets at the moment. All can see is the backs of people, can't see anyone. If the goal goes in for Brighton, we've got no chance.
We'll have a guess. We'll have a guess. Don't worry, everyone's sitting down right now. This is Brighton against Nottingham Forest. Five Lives Premier League Sunday, 4:30, full commentary from the Etihad Stadium. That's where Steve Crossman and John Murray are right now. That is Manchester City against Arsenal later on. But this is Brighton against Nottingham Forest. And this, two good teams here, Stephen. And as we've been saying, if Arsenal go on to lose that game today and we have a winner here, the team that wins here is going to be in the top four after five games.
Yeah, well, we'll look at Nottingham Forest first. Many people thought that they'd be in and around the relegation zone. They'd be struggling this year with the struggles that they had last year would continue into this season. They haven't. They've signed some good players. The midfielders, Ward-Prowse, Elliot Anderson, very impressive in midfield and a great partnership already. And then Milinkovic at the back is a good addition to that back line. And they've got pace on the break. They're going to hurt Brighton at times. But then you look at Fabian Hertzler at Brighton, a young up-and-coming manager. What impact could he have on the Premier League? What could he add to this Brighton team? Well, what we've seen so far, it's been exciting. It's been front foot. It's been very adventurous in the way they play. They play a really high line. So this has got the makings of a great game.
Two captains, Lewis Duncan, Morgan Gibbs-White, have shaken hands. Nottingham Forest in the red shirts, white shorts and red socks away to our right. Form a team huddle, but deliberately do so very close to the travelling supporters behind them, behind that goal, away to our right. The Brighton fans singing their hearts out. Two fellas who still need to sit down in the next couple of...
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary on this platform. You may be able to listen on an alternative platform. For further information and terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/5live.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Unfortunately, due to rights restrictions, we're not able to bring you the current sports commentary.